I just would like to read from 1 Corinthians 10:24, which is it up here? No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So our theme today is gospel neighbour. So I want to read two readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. So the first one is from Leviticus 19, verses 13 to 18. So this was the law. Do not defraud or rob your neighbour. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. And then Jesus reiterates this. This is Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well," said the teacher, the man replied, "you're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Jesus was once asked, "Who is my neighbour?" And so I would like to tell you a story about who is my neighbour. There was a man called Luke. And he was a Manchester City supporter. And he went down to Southampton to watch a match. He was really excited to go on his own. And he arrived at the station and he walked along with everybody else, the big crowd, all the way to the stadium. But because he was sat in the Manchester City end, there was much jeering. And whilst there was a lot of arguing happening and a lot of shouting. And it felt very happy to be stood in amongst the crowd, but there was tension. The game was very dramatic. One man was sent off, so they were down to 10 men. 10 men, and the score was 25-37. Tensions were running high. But as he left, he thought, "I better pop in and buy my wife some wine and flowers on the way home and some chocolate for my children." And as he came out of the shop, he must have taken a wrong turning because he ended up somewhere that he didn't recognise. He held his phone up in his hand and he turned the torch on, trying to find the way in the gloom, looking on his sat-nav. And then suddenly, from nowhere, someone pushed him over and he was knocked out onto the floor. And when he woke up on the floor, he realised his phone was gone, his money, even his scarf around his neck had been taken. And he lay there helpless on the floor. He was frightened and he was alone. And then in the distance, he saw a figure coming towards him. So he groaned and he called out. It looked like a priest, a person that would show love and compassion. They would be bound to stop. The preacher approached carefully. He stopped and looked. Perhaps this person on the floor was a football hooligan who got into a fight. They looked quite drunk. Maybe they were aggressive. Who knows? The priest didn't want to get involved and crossed over to the other side because it was too messy. As Luke lay injured, calling out in pain on the cold, wet floor, he saw the outline of a person walking towards them. It was going to be all right for sure this time. The person approaching looked like a Manchester City supporter and someone he knew, Levi. We support the same team. He's bound to stop and help. We share a common goal. As the man called Levi approached him, Luke lay lying on the ground. Luke was covered in tattoos. He had them on his face since he was a young child. Blood on his hands, nose piercing, and he looked quite scary. And next to him on the floor was lying the wine and the flowers. He was concerned what might happen if he stopped. So Levi didn't want to get involved. He didn't want any trouble. The man called Levi quickly moved to the other side of the road and passed by. Luke lay injured in agony on the floor. And coming towards him, he saw an outline of a third man. This time the man had a Southampton shirt on. This could mean trouble, Luke thought. Yet the Southampton supporter came closer. He knelt down at his side and he gently whispered in his ear, "You look in a bad way. My name is Sam. Let me help you." Luke whispered back, "Why would you do this for me?" "Because I love my God with all my heart and my soul, and I see him in you." Sam opened the wine and poured it over the wound to clean it. Then he wrapped his scarf around the injury to stop the bleeding. Sam scooped Luke up and he carried him to accident and emergency. They took him through really quickly. Sam stopped at the reception and gave his details. He didn't know much about the man he'd found lying on the ground, except that he was a Manchester City fan. He had nothing with him, no money, no phone. Sam said to the receptionist, "Let me give you some money for when he wakes up. He'll want to get home. I'll come back in a couple of days and see if I can help him get home." Who is the neighbour in this story? Was it the priest who was scared to get involved? Was it the man called Levi from his own team who was too concerned about himself to stop? Or was it the man called Sam from the team on the opposite side? The one who showed mercy is the neighbour, the Good Samaritan. Now let's do the same. Let's walk in step with God's grace and mercy, and let's find his rhythm to walk in. So I'm going to read another reading from Exodus 22, verses 26 and 27. If you take your neighbour's cloak as a pledge, return it by sunset, because that cloak is the only covering your neighbour has. What else can they sleep in? When they cry out to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. So I have a cloak here. So this is the cloak actually that I had for being Mary, which is still in the back of my car. But here's a cloak. And what that just told us was that if a neighbour gives us the cloak because they have taken something from us, then we are to have that. And to then, when the neighbour pays back what they owe, we then give them back the cloak. But what it's saying here in Exodus is that actually we have to give them back the cloak, whether they pay back or not. So, of course we would give it back, wouldn't we? Because that's a good neighbourly thing to do. Or is it? Let's get this straight. So someone borrows something from me and then they don't give it back, but then I still have to give that back to them. That doesn't really seem very fair, does it? What a stretch that might be. And then, if it's cold tonight, then I can see that perhaps they should have their cloak given back to them. And because I want to be gracious to them, then I might let them have the cloak back, and I might do, if they pay me back tomorrow, and I might feel pity on them. But I do know that they've done this sort of thing before. And in fact, they've done it many times before and not just to me. So if they take my cloak and then don't pay back what they owe, then maybe I should keep the cloak and teach them a lesson. But that's not what that's saying. God says that we should give back the cloak because God sees my neighbour. God sees the struggle. And I will give them back the cloak so that they're protected from the elements, because I must love them as myself. And I wouldn't want to be cold all night, and I know they wouldn't. And I don't know what they're going through, and they have made a mistake. And even if I can't fix the problem or make them think like me, then I should show compassion on them and give them back the cloak. Because God would do that for me. So I will give him back the cloak. And I think in that reading, there's an example of what the Jubilee is, where the debts are written off, where we become equal, and the dynamic in social order changes. When we can look someone directly into the eye, we can look into the eye of our neighbour, and we can see how the great commandments are woven through the scriptures. To love God and to love our neighbour. There it was, right at the beginning. Love God and love our neighbour. Written in Exodus, written in Leviticus, and then Jesus speaks of them again. They're two sides of the same coin. God calling us to have mercy on each other from the start, urging us to care for each other, to be truthful with our neighbours, to protect them from hazards, to not hold grudges against them, to see them in the light of love. God desires neighbourliness. And when you read the scriptures, it seeps out of the scriptures from beginning to end. And there it is in Exodus, telling us to care for our neighbours, the orphans, the widows, the stranger. And then when Jesus speaks of them, he goes on further and he adds to love our enemy too. The challenge to our actions to our neighbours. In the same way we are challenged about giving back a simple cloak is neighbourliness in a nutshell. We can move beyond distrust, beyond our feelings of being wronged, of building resentment against our neighbours or wanting power over them, to a place of mercy and good neighbourliness. In Exodus we see a empire, and it's with Egypt, and I think this is the contrast between empire and wilderness and promise. So in Exodus we see the powerful force of Egypt, both on a big scale and on a small scale in relationships. The empire of Egypt represents a way of living with rigid laws that led to power, a domination of cultural thinking. An empire that was structured to take the wealth from the poor and give it to the powerful, so they became richer. An empire that turned everything into a commodity. People, animals, objects. Everything had a value. Everything had a worth. A worth placed on them for someone else's benefit. An empire that makes everything disposable. And everything dispensable. An empire that works on the process of being predatory, with competition and success, achievement, and it's all sustained by anxiety. an empire where no one can trust or be trusted, and that we want to keep everything that we have earned because we feel justified in that. We don't want to give back the cloak. I think for me, when I wasn't very old and I used to work in a bank, and I used to remember going for my appraisals thinking someone will see how hard I work and they'll give me a promotion because I work really hard. But it wasn't like that, because that was never going to happen in a culture where it was competition. No one was going to turn around and say, well done, Katie. Here you are, here's a promotion. Because it doesn't work like that in an empire. And I think we recognise that world around us and the world that we live in and the world that we are obliged to take part in because it's consuming and we're complicit in it. We are very easily led into judgment of others because perhaps if we don't, we're seen as being weak. It's a sign of weakness to be trampled on. To give back the cloak to the neighbour, what will people think of me? I think I'm weak. The neighbourly alternative in Exodus is the wilderness. So Moses arrives at the Red Sea and he brings the slaves out across the dry ground, and Israel is brought into a community of free, a community where there is no empire, where God's currency is the economy. A place where, for their own survival, God gave them a provision of bread and water and quail for the entire community. It was given for the common good. They had moved from empire where no one was a commodity. Sharing and justice was what was sustaining them. A neighbour with whom we share common destiny, a common good. And then there's inclusion and acceptance. And it brings an end to a permanent underclass where God's justice is prevailing. Where in the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus, everyone and everything has worth and nothing else. There's a quote from someone called Emil Brunner, and it says, "It's not a love which judges, but a love which bestows worth." Neighbourliness is not a love which judges, but a love which bestows worth. A love which is opposite to empire, where you are not a commodity. So thinking about the two commandments that Jesus gave, I just need a couple of volunteers. Chris and Chris, would you just please come and help me a second? Just come and stand up here. So it's brilliant that we sang that song earlier on. So when we love God and we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and we praise God, then this morning we just raised our arms to the sanctuary. So Chris, would you mind just standing here behind Chris and putting your hands up in the air? Thank you. And then when we love our neighbour and we love our neighbour as ourselves, and we reach out to people, can you please put your arms like that? Right out. And do you see where that leads us? So that leads us to the cross. That leads us following Jesus, loving God and loving our neighbours is the economy of God. That's brilliant. So it means we have to do both to become like Jesus. Jesus tells us that we are to love him with all our hearts, our minds, our souls and our strengths. And when we do, we know that God looks upon us with gentleness. There's no payment due. It's completely free. And we're looked upon with mercy. And God sees our hearts. And I think that is purposely first. Because then to go and love our neighbour in the same way, to look at them with compassion and gentleness and eye to eye, which may come at a cost, but putting our neighbours first and becoming in their rhythm is God's rhythm. And if in any way we feel like we're still exercising power over them in dispensing goodness, then we're still standing in the empire, Because neighbourly love is sacrificial love, like we saw on the cross. God is neighbourhood, a love that challenges truth and doesn't sit in judgment, a love that doesn't exalt ourselves over other people, and that includes everyone and forgives, a love that gives and does not expect, a love that is about offering and not demanding. Love God, the one who sacrificed all for you, and stand in wonder and awe. And in the same way, love your neighbour and sacrifice your cloak and be glad. Amen.